supposed to end, if you will. Bow our heads before you in prayer. Precious Heavenly Father, a blessed opportunity, Lord, once again. Lord, when you said, come into thy house, Lord, and Lord, praise thy holy name for what you've done for us. Lord, it's a blessing and a joy, Lord, to be here. Lord, we just ask that everything that's said and done be for your glory and your honor. Lord, we're here for you. We appreciate you with all our hearts, Lord. Just accept our few songs, Lord, we have, Lord, and then just, Lord, place the word upon our hearts this night, Lord, in our hearts, that we may live every day for you. Give you all the glory and praise and honor due unto you. In the precious name of Lord Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Let's turn our capstone books over to page 3. "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him more and more, Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace, oh, life and rest and joy and peace. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh,
grace to trust him more. Amen. If we can only trust him.
He will take care of us. Amen. Page 9, same book. Amen. Standing there at the Red Sea, God's people began to complain. Soon Pharaoh and his mighty army would take us in bondage again. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, Moses did cry. Then God parted the waters and they crossed to the other side. Oh God, delivers again. Oh my God, delivers again. When it seems that all is lost, He reaches down His hand. Then all the forces of evil have to flee at His command. Just when things look hopeless, my God, He delivers again. We won't bow to your idols, the Hebrew children proclaim. So the king gave the command, throw them into the flame. Amen. The king said, did we not cast 3 men into the furnace bound? I see 4 men unloose in the fire unhurt, and they're walking around. Oh God, delivers again. Oh my God, delivers again. When it seems that all is lost, He reaches down His hand. Amen. Amen. How many times in your life has He delivered you? Amen. I can't count them. God delivers again. Oh my God, delivers again. When it seems that all is lost, I'm sure we've all been there a time or two, He reaches down His hand. Then all the forces of evil, amen, you can feel it leave, has to flee at His command. Just when things look hopeless, my God delivers again. Amen. What a blessing. It's worth it all to be His child, saints. Amen. Hallelujah. Page 59, same book. Amen. So glad I serve a living God. Amen. When you can feel. Amen. I've heard of a land of joy and peace and wonderful life, a beautiful place of mansions fair and skies ever bright, where all who believe the Savior so near forever shall stay. precious. Amen. It's a joy to live my life for Him. Amen. Brother Sells, you take up the offering this evening. Sing our chorus, Just Another Touch, Lord, from You. Oh, just another touch, Lord, from You. Lord, we appreciate all the times, Lord, we've received touches from You, Lord. Lord, even when we didn't know we needed it, Lord, we can just feel Your hand rest upon our shoulders. Lord, it's a joy serving You. I appreciate You with all my heart. Lord, I know there's many here, Lord, that might have needs. Some that may not be here tonight, Lord. Lord, some of the older ones is really going through it sometimes, Lord. Lord, I have a burden on my heart for them. Lord, I pray You make it easier for them. Lord, just bless them richly. Lord, just reach down and touch them, Lord, as we speak. Lord, make life a little easier for them, Lord. And Lord, just know that we love and appreciate them. We always have them in our prayers. Lord, life ain't easy sometimes, Lord. I'm sure I'm to find out more. But Lord, I have a burden on my heart for them, Lord, and I ask You to bless them. Lord, and our spiritual needs, Lord, as we stand here. Lord, we need You more now than we ever did in our life. Lord, the world's gone crazy. The world's insane. But Lord, we thank You for that little peace that's down in our hearts, Lord, to serve You. Give our lives to You. Regardless what goes on around us, Lord, we know one who walks with us. And He talks with us. And He tells us we're His own. Lord, You give us Your word, Lord, and we live by it, by faith. We just appreciate You, Lord. We just ask that You'll bless each and every one here tonight, Lord. each need that's spoken or unspoken, Lord, it's on each heart. Lord, you know the need behind each hand. Lord, we ask you to bless it. We ask you to take care of it according to your perfect will. Lord, like we always have, we never fail to give you the glory and the honor and the praise for all you've done. Lord, we ask you to bless the remainder of the service now. Lord, as the word comes forth, bless it to our hearts. Lord, let us take it in, Lord, and then go out tomorrow, Lord, and live it. Lord, that's what it's all about, Lord, and we appreciate you. Just have your way now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask and pray these things. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Amen. He's so good. What I'd do without him, saints. Imagine trying to walk this life without him. It's worth it all to be his child. Amen. Anyone have a song in their heart or a special? Brother Amos? Yeah. 33, do you only believe? Thank you. Rock of Ages. Amen. Rock of Ages, left for me, let me myself in thee. day that you see him sitting on the throne before you. Amen. I'm sure these won't be able to handle that. Amen. Let's all stand if you will. Let's ask our brother to come sing that little chorus. Mercy rewrote my life.
Find the opportunity one more time to come and to gather around with saints of like precious faith, Lord, and to come in and to feel your Holy presence. And Lord, to be able to worship you and to magnify you for what you've done for us. And Lord, we're just so thankful for each opportunity you give us. And we've come tonight, Lord, humbly to look back into your word, Lord, and to take an exhortation from it, Lord, to strengthen ourselves, Lord, to cause us maybe to increase our love for you a little greater. Lord, we just ask that you would bless these few words, and Lord, just help us to be pleasing to you in all things we ask. And Lord, we'll never fail to give you the glory and the honor for it all. In the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we ask these things. Amen. Oh, you may be seated while you're standing, if you would. Let's turn our Bibles over to the book of Colossians. Amen. Just a little thought tonight, a little different, but as studying on these things, and the Lord just seemed to just really impress it on my heart, and it's very simple, but we're just going to look into these things tonight and just ask God to maybe make mean a little more to us. Amen. In Colossians, the first chapter, and we'll just read that first, the first chapter in the 15th verse starting, "Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether there be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence." In that 21st verse, "And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight." And may the Lord bless you in his word. You may be seated. Amen. You know, it's such a time in which we live, and you see all the things that are going on around us in the land today, and knowing that it has to happen and all that's taking place. But nevertheless, as Brother Branham put it here in Spiritual Amnesia, I'd like to read something he said, and kind of, we can each one, having been born in this country and being raised up through our school system and being taught all of our lives what an American is, we can identify with that. And it's so easy to look back into history and and to see how God blessed this country to be what it is today, and how God led the footsteps of even the pilgrims as they landed, and all back through history. We see all this taking place. And as we see this country and all that's going on around us today, and how that, you know, we see the things shaping up. But Brother Branham used this as an illustration in spiritual amnesia, and he really drove this home, and I really caught my attention. And as I said, as you see and you hear and everything goes on around us, and how it hurts the heart of a true American to see what's happening today, and those of us that can see what our forefathers tried to found this country on, and how they would feel about it if they could be here and see what's taking place. But nevertheless, Brother Branham here in spiritual amnesia, just catch what he's saying now and listen, because he had a reason for doing what he done here. As he was starting about paragraph 80, he began to speak and he said, "Now to be an American, I must be identified with my nation." And then he says, "Listen close," and I want you to pay attention to how many times he didn't want them to get lost of what he was trying to say here. Even though he's presenting something that's not really spiritual, but he was taking it that direction and he wanted to make sure they was focusing on what he was trying to say. And he said, "To be an American, when I am born in this country, I become a citizen and I'm identified with this nation. All it is, I am. All that it has been, I am. For I'm identified as an American, and then I have to take all of its shame and all of its glory. Whatever it is, I am, because I'm identified with it, amen? And I want you to get it." And notice how he said, "I want you to get it. I'm identified as an American citizen, then all it was, I am. All it is, I am. I must be part of it. I've got it. If I'm an American citizen, I'm a part of America. All that it is, I am. I must never forget this. If I want to remain a true American citizen, I must remember that I am what my nation is, for I'm identified with my nation. To forget her, to fight for her, to die for her, to stand for all she stands for, I must stand for it. What my nation is, I am. What it stands for, I stand for it, to be a loyal American. I'll be ready to die for it, fight for it, stand for it, do anything there is, I'm part of it. You can't pick on it without picking on me. And when you say something against it, you say it against me. For I'm an American. To say it against you as an American, and what they say against this nation, they say against you. For you're part of it. Don't never forget it. And when you do, then you've got amnesia, sure enough. And at the time, I looked back, and at the time this was taking place, there was turmoil in the land in the 60s, in the 50s, in the Cold War, the Cuban crisis, missile crisis. There's all these things going on. So it was still happening. All this turmoil is taking place, and people were protesting the Vietnam War, and all this was taking place around him. And he's bringing this for a reason and driving a point. And he says, "Remember, you're no more American citizen when you can't become part of it. You must be. What an American is, you must be also. And I must be partakers of her. This is my nation. And I must be partake of her. What she is, I am. See, what she was, I am. No matter what she was, I'm still what she was." And look how he drove that home. And I want you to take that into consideration as you look across this whole world. The Britons are proud of their country. The Canadians are proud of their country. Each country is just, as the anthems are played and their kings march forth, and there's different places that he referenced those things. You see the pride in people raise up as, listen at that. And they can think back and they can know the men that fought and died, as he's going to go into here. We know what was the price that was paid for this country to have the freedoms that it has. We know the men that fought and died in it. We know the men that gave their lives to it to make sure that we could sit here in the freedoms we enjoy tonight. And that, how that, as we look at that, how that just makes the human heart as an American citizen just swell and just, you're so thankful and so proud of what you're part of and where it's got from. But listen as he goes on. He says, "What she is, I am. See, what she was, I am. No matter what she was, I'm still what she was. To be an American, I landed on Plymouth Rock with her forefathers. I had to. I rode with Paul Revere to warn her of her dangers. If I'm a real American citizen, I landed on Plymouth Rock. I rode with Paul Revere to warn her of the danger. Do you know what I'm meaning now? I crossed the icy Delaware with George Washington, with his barefooted soldiers. I was there, for I'm identified with this nation. What he did there was part of me, and what I do now is part of him. I was identified with Washington at the Delaware. I stood with Stonewall Jackson when the odds were so great against him, and they asked, how can you stand like a stone wall when the odds is against you? And that little bashful blue-eyed fella kicked the dust with his boots, and he said, I never take a drink of water until I thank Almighty God for it. I have to stand like a stone wall with him, and I stood there with Stonewall Jackson to be an American. I'm identified with him in his stand, crossing the Delaware, fighting his battles. And I hoisted the flag. And I was with them when they hoisted the flag on Guam, and after thousands of American soldiers gave their life. And when that little group run up there and throwed that flag up, I was identified at the raising of that flag. Every one of us was. All American citizens was identified with that flag hanging over Guam. And when I heard that they'd put that flag up there, tears run down my cheeks. That was me. That was you. That meant all of us when we was identified there with that. And you got to stop to think about that, how at that time of the World War II, there was sons and daughters, sons and fathers over there fighting for this country, and the families at home knowing what was taking place in this country, seeing the turmoil that was going on and all the things going on in the land, and to see that old tattered flag go up, oh, what a joy. What a thanksgiving was in those men's hearts at that time as they saw this taking place and seeing these great victories that was happening to them. And oh, how back here at home, what a joy it was bringing to the American people. And even today, as we've been taught in the history and we've learned these things, how it still makes us think of with awe of those men and the price they paid, and how we can remember those things and we talk about it. We get together and we may mention that to one another, and what a wonderful, what an awful price they had to pay. But oh, we're so glad thankful there was men like that. And we can look back and see, as Brother Branham was mentioning these men, how George Washington kneeling and praying and during the Revolutionary War, and all the men, the price they were paying, and Abraham Lincoln, the great burden he had at the time of slavery, and everybody against him, and the burden that was on his shoulders, and how we can see all that these men suffered for this country's sake, and how it gives us great pride, and all it makes, there ain't a person in this land that can't talk about it, and talk about it with great joy. But as he goes on here, I want you to continue to listen, because he was driving a point. He made sure he didn't leave nothing out as he was pushing it through. A great morale booster, so to speak. And he says, all she is, I am. All her glory is my glory. All her shame is my shame. And if she has done shameful things, then I'll have to share her reproach. And if she receives glory, I receive glory with her, because I'm identified with her now. And to be identified, American has to stand for all of America's shame, all America's glory, all she ever was. And all she is, or what she will be, you're identified with it. So he really drove it home about how you're identified with it, and it shows. And then he just swaps right on over, and he goes, now to be a true Christian, you have to be the same. We don't want to forget that. All that he was, I'm identified with, and I'm identified with him. Notice, he is in me, and I in him. Notice that every Christian that's a real genuine Christian was with him when the morning stars sang together, and the sons of God shouted for joy before there was the foundation of the world. We were identified in the immortal realms with God 10 million years before the world was ever formed. I was back there with him. If I've got eternal life, I was there with him. I was identified with him when the morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy. I was with him when he called Abraham at the age of 75 years old and his wife being 65 and told him they were going to have a baby. I was with him when he took his stand upon Thus Saith the Lord, and I'm going to have a baby. I stood with him, and every other Christian stood with him. And I was with him when temptations come, and I was with him when he went up on top of the mountain to offer up Isaac. I was with him when the ram appeared. And I was with Joseph when he was rejected of his brothers because he was spiritual and the rest of them was carnal. I was with him when he knowed the reproach he had to stand by his own brothers and what he was. I am, and what I am he was, for we are all one in Christ Jesus. I was with Joseph in the grave. I was with him there when he went to the right hand of Pharaoh. And you had to be identified with him. I was with Jacob that night. He wrestled all night with the angel. I've wrestled myself. I know what he went through with. So I wrestled with Jacob the same time he did, for I'm his brother. And I was with Moses when he was down into Egypt. I was with Moses at the burning bush. And if you're a Christian, you're identified with them Bible characters. And don't forget it. I was with Moses when all the people turned against him. And I was with Moses when he crossed the Red Sea. And when he raised his hand and walked forward and the Red Sea opened, I was identified in Christ right then. And I was with Moses at that hour. Whatever Christians has been and whatever believers has been, every believer now is identified with that same person. Whatever it is, you must be identified. And don't forget that. When you do, you've got spiritual amnesia and you've forgotten who you are. Now, identify with him when Moses crossed the sea. And I was with Elijah at the days of Ahab, when they had to make a choice who they would serve, God or Balaam. We was with him on Mount Carmel when he had to make his choice, for we are identified in the body of the same God that he was identified in. So if we're identified in that body, then we must remember we were with him. That's right. And I want you to think about these things. It's wonderful to be able to identify as an American citizen. And all the joy it kind of brings us to know, and we see what's happening to this country. And all, as an American citizen, it might rankle us a little bit and get us a little upset and a little uptight. But here is the God of heaven who come and died and hung on a cross to pay for our sins, that we could come in here and worship and be a very partaker of his divine nature, and come in here and have him commune with us, and to his sweet Holy Spirit flow with us. And how much do we talk about him? And how much do we get a little rankled when somebody steps on his word or tries to tear his word down or take away from what he said it should be? How much does that bother us? Does it bother us as much as somebody maybe talking about our country or trying to take our country apart? But this world's only temporal. But what God has given us is life eternal, and it's going to stand forever. But does it mean more to me than this American life ever meant? Does these things that God has made sure that we were aware of and made sure that has been ground into our hearts, this Bible's been laying here for thousands of years, and to see people take it and trot on it and walk away. There's many religious people that hold this up, but there's very few people that fall under the category of godly men and women when you look at the requirements that lay within there. But how it ought to churn in our hearts when we see what God has done for us. We see what the natural man had done, and we see what the Thanksgiving it is. As you drive down the road and they see all the American flags up on post and waving in the wind and the light shining on them, and all of this to honor the things that have been done. But does my life give back honor to God to show him that I so appreciate everything that he's done for me, every price that he paid, and all that he's done in every phase of my life to make sure that I could be here and to be a partaker of him, and to see that he blesses me and blesses me and blesses me again? But do I honor him the same way that I would honor this country, or it should be far greater? But as I push that out there, people get so wrapped up in the world of I'm an American citizen and this is our history. But my history started before this world was ever formed. And that's where I'm headed back to. And each one of us, that should be the desire burning in our heart. We hate to see the things that's coming upon this country. But God sent a prophet, and he stood in this day, and he told us that this country was doomed. God's done and pronounced his judgment, and we see that go forth. And oh my, how that should make us look more heavenly, to go towards the heavenly than we ever have before, to know that the things that are going to come upon this world, and it's going to fall and fall apart. But how we should not entangle ourselves with it, but entangle ourselves greater with God's word and what he has done for us, that our loves would go back to him, and there would be a great show forth, a great ambition, a drive to be exactly and hold to steady the truths that he has handed to us. You know, today many people, they stand up and they shout about the Constitution. Oh, we got to hold to this, and we got to hold to that, and we got to hold to this. If only people would take the same approach to God's word and say, we got to hold to this. But they don't. But as a people that's been called and set aside for a purpose for God, may that be the drive in our heart, is that we uphold these things and hold these truths dear to our heart, and embrace them and make sure that we don't let any of it become torn down in our lives or in our hearts. It must be every word. We can't do away with any of it. It's got to be every word living and manifesting in our hearts. As he goes on here, he says, I was with Daniel in the lion's den. I was identified in there when the angel of the Lord identified him in there. And I was most surely with him at Calvary. I must be identified with him at Calvary. I must be there to a place that where not also I was identified with him at Calvary. I died with him at Calvary. Every Christian must die with him at Calvary. If you don't die with him at Calvary, you can't be none of his. I was there when he died. I died with him. I died in him. And then I was with him when he raised from the dead. I come up on Easter morning with him in the resurrection. What he did, I was right there with him. Every believer was the same. And now I am seated with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, with all the powers of hell conquered through him. Every Christian believer was seated the same way, because you have to be identified. And I find myself in the last days with many of the believing Christians identified in his ministry. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I find myself in this day identified in his ministry. Do you find yourself that way? Believing it, walking with it. Notice the works that he did. He said the believer would do the same thing. The works that I do shall you also. Then you can be identified with him. Then when the reproach comes on the word, you can stand the reproach like he did. See, identified with him. I was identified with him. I was with him at the day of Pentecost. I was with the disciples up there, identified with him in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I wonder if the church hasn't got amnesia so much now that they don't know. Some of them don't even believe there is such a thing as the Holy Ghost. See, where has the church got a very bad case of amnesia, see? They've forgotten that it was Jesus Christ back there. They have forgotten that Jesus Christ was. They have forgotten. They thought he was just a lawmaker or a prophet or a good man. But they forgot he was God. They forgot that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the church has got a bad case of spiritual amnesia. They have forgotten all these things. And they don't understand it no more. And we must be with the disciples at Pentecost. And you look at, as a type, you go out into the land and they're tearing statues and all just destroying this country. Tearing down the things that was believed and held to be truth. And all the different gay right movements and all the things that have taken over this country. And we see that. But oh my, what about it when they're doing it to my word, to the word of God? How do we feel when it comes to God's word? How much does that upset us? How much does it upset us to see a woman that won't come under submission to her husband? Does that upset me? Does that make me cringe and say they've let down the bars? That's how this country got to where it's at, because of people slacking and letting off and caving in. But it can't be that way. God's word was sent for a purpose and a standard. And as believers, we've got to be identified with it to the fullness. And it ought to mean the worst most to us. And if somebody tears one little thing off the pages of that precious word, how it ought to just tear us so bad. And if it's maybe it's something in my life that's not matching up and tearing something, oh, how it ought to put such a drive in there to get that thing cleaned up and out of my life that it lines up 100% with God's word and holds these statutes up 100% before God. That he can see, that this whole world can see that I'm identified right here with our precious Lord. And how that ought to be the goal of our lives. And how it ought to mean more to us to know. How much do we talk about what he's truly done for us? You know, we talk about it when we come in here, but how much do we share that to others? How much do we pass that along? Let me tell you what God has truly done for me. Let me tell you, I used to be a person that was scared to death or whatever it might be. And God has taken that out of my life. I used to be a person that drank and smoked and run over here, but God has taken that out of my life. All these different things. I used to be a woman that couldn't be under submission, but God has taken that from my life. I used to be a husband that couldn't rule my home, but God has taken that out of my life. Every word matters, and how we should uphold everything, and how it should just be such a strong consolation in our heart to make sure we're holding those truths solid and not letting loose of them at the least bit. Hey, man, he says we must be with the disciples at Pentecost, identified with them. I was identified with Peter's sermon on that day at Pentecost in Acts. And in Acts, the second chapter, I heard what he said. I believed what he said. I obeyed what he said. And now I'm identified in the same thing. And oh, how that ought to make our hearts glad to know that I did obey. I can say that, take that same statement and know that I've seen the vindication of Jesus Christ in my life taking control. And oh, what a joy that ought to place in our heart. What a triumphant victory, a song that ought to put in there of praise back to him for, oh, what he's done for me. Amen. But he says, don't get spiritual amnesia, because you will identify yourself with something else. Stay right with that word. And oh, may that be our desire of our hearts, to be identified and it to be scripturally identified as a Christian today. And it show forth that we are. Amen. And we realize God has so graciously sent men that has brought the word and kept us in tune and kept us in line. And this is in the Ephesian church age. Brother Branham was speaking, and I know I'm doing a lot of reading, but I just thought it was good the way he put it. And he put it here. This would be page 84 in a reprint of the Church Age book I have. I don't have paragraphs, but he starts here, and he says, these seven messengers were making God known to the people. He that receiveth them receiveth him that sent them. John 13:20. They speak and act upon his authority. And he stands behind him with all the power of the Godhead. Matthew 28:18-20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to do observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So there they are, full of the Holy Ghost and faith, on fire with the fire of God, holding forth the word of truth, and there he stands to back them up. And think of it, not one believer of any age need cry in his heart, Oh, that I might have been back there in the first age when the apostles were first sent out. And oh, we might sit here tonight and say, Oh, I'd have liked to have been in that upper room when the baptism of the Holy Ghost descended. Tongues of fire and set upon each of them, and they were filled. But he says, Oh, that I might have been back in that first age when the apostles, but there is no need to look back. Look up and behold him who is even now walking in the midst of the churches through all ages. Behold him who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, who never changes either in essence or in his ways. Where two or three are gathered together in his name, there he is in their midst. Not only in their midst as a complacent onlooker or as a recording angel, but there he stands expressing exactly what he is, the life and the sustainer and the giver of all the good gifts to the church. Hallelujah, he says. And oh, how it ought to just thrill our hearts to know that I am a partaker of that. I am a recipient of all that God has done. Down through the beginnings of time, this world was formed. And all that has taken place for me to stand here today in this age when the world is in total darkness and to be a light, he's predestinated to be here in this age to be able to prove that the Holy Ghost that fell on the day of Pentecost in that upper room is the same Holy Ghost that's living in you and I today and taking over these mortal bodies and bringing them to every word that Jesus Christ said would live today. What a shout that ought to put in our hearts when I can see overcoming in my life, when I can see what's happened and see that I've been identified and that it's identifying in my life that this word is on display. Oh, it ought to make me want to shout, and how it ought to make me want to jump up and give God praise and glory for what he's done for us. It ought to put a pressure in us, an excitement. Oh my, I tell you, we can get so excited when we can see, and you can imagine the excitement that went through the land as they pushed that old flag up on Guam in just a natural human heart. You can see the pride that was there, the joy when they seen that went up there. And his brother Branham didn't even cause tears to roll down his face. He was an American. He was a human being. And knowing what those men had went through, but we've seen what he went through for us to bring us to where we stand today. We can see what God has done for us at this age. Does it cause an excitement and such a joy in my heart that thank you, Lord, that I'm identified in God's precious word? Oh, how it ought to just set us on fire. Saints, it's not a time to be despondent or downtrodden. The requirements are great. We see that life has to be on display, and the word comes, and sometimes it seems so hot. The sun is shining, and it's boiling down on us, but it's taking the greenness out and bringing forth that life that he said would be there in this last day. And oh, what a joy that ought to place in our hearts when we can see we're recipients of that. That God has so graciously allowed me to sit there. We could be as others that are tearing down God's word, tearing down what he said would be, trying to do away with some of it and hold, oh, we don't need that anymore. But God has set a standard, and by God's grace, he's put a desire in someone's heart to hold true to everything God said and to be an example in this last day. Amen. He goes on here, he says, He is the life and the sustainer and giver of all the good gifts to the church. Hallelujah. Who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Who meaningfully are those words when viewed in the light of the scripture, which describes him as Christ, who is our life. For Christ indeed is the life of the church. She has no other life. Without him, she is simply a religious society, a club, a meaningless gathering of people. As a corpse bejeweled and dressed is still a corpse, so the church, no matter what her programs and her gracious efforts might achieve, without Christ, she is a corpse also. But with him in her midst, and with him motivating her, she becomes to the wonderment of all his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And this very hour, he is walking in the midst of the last age's golden candlestick. When he was as he walked in the first age, he even now, in the last age, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Seven golden candlesticks. In Exodus 25:31, it says, Thou shalt make a candlestick of pure gold. Of beaten work shall the candlestick be made. His shaft and his branches, his bowls and his knops and his flowers shall be the same. The true church of Jesus Christ, the bride, is likened to pure gold. Her righteousness is his righteousness. Her attributes are his own glorious attributes. Her identity is found in him. What he is, she is to reflect. What he has, she is to manifest. There is no fault in her. She is all glorious within and without. From beginning to ending, she is the work of her Lord, and all his works are perfect. In fact, in her is summed up and manifested the eternal wisdom and purpose of God. How can one fathom it? How can one understand it? Though we cannot do that, we can accept it by faith, for God hath spoken it. But not only is the candlestick of gold, it is of beaten gold, handcrafted and beaten gold, according to her blueprints, which were spirit-given. Outside of her Lord and Master Jesus Christ was ever a people so beaten and purged as the bride of Jesus Christ. Surely she is filling up with the sufferings that Christ has left behind. Her goods are despoiled, her life is in jeopardy, she's accounted as sheep for the slaughter, and she is killed all the day long. She suffers much, but in it all retaliates not, and neither does she cause others to suffer. Worthy of the gospel is this lovely bride of Christ, and as gold is malleable, whereas brass will break with the beating, this gold of God will bear her suffering, for the Lord not bowed, not broken, not destroyed, but formed a thing of beauty, and a joy forever by the trials and testings of this life. And oh my, how we can see all the things that maybe the test of trials and the hard things that spring up ahead of us, how God is using it to his glory, to bring our lives to what he wants us to be. The testing times that we see, the many trials we face, God's got a purpose in all of it. And as we look around us and we see all that's going on and all the chaos, we must always remember we're not of this world. God has called us for a greater purpose. And we must not entangle ourselves with the cares of this life and all that goes on around us. But you know, as Brother Branham made a little quote here, this was in God's Wrapped Gift, preached December 25th, 1965. We all face different trials and different situations in life come up around us and have to maybe turn our path this way or it turns us that way. And we see this happen. Sicknesses come. All these things happening around us. It happens daily, just on our daily walk. But you know, he was speaking here of when Mary and Joseph, at the time, they had to go back up to be taxed at the city and knowing that Jesus had to be born there and realizing that. But Brother Branham just made this one little quotation. He said, but all things, you sisters could come to the instruments, but all things are foreordained of God that works together for good to them that love him. It was ordained of God that there should be a heartless king in that day, bloodthirsty Herod. God knew about it. God knew about the taxes and how this brutal government didn't have no thoughts for mercy on that poor mother that was just about to be ready to deliver her firstborn son. Just in a few days. But he commanded that they all should come to their native birthplace and pay taxes. No matter what condition she was in, she's got to come anyhow. God knew all about that. He foreknew all things. And he knows all things, see? And he makes everything work together for good. And oh my, how we can see now the things that are happening in this country, happening all around this world, is working to good for you and I, for what God said he had prepared for us. Oh my, for as the verse says over here, and amen, I can find it here real quick. I think it was in 1 Corinthians. Paul was speaking 2:9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things which God had prepared for them that love him. But oh my, how our love ought to go out to him. And how it ought to be seen that we are identified. And it's expressing and manifesting. And what a joy it ought to bring and put in my life. When I can truly see that my name's been written down. And those pages of this precious Bible are speaking of me. When it talks of all of these playthings that the word must be fulfilled, I can see it in me. And oh, what a joy that ought to place in us. And what a drive and an ambition to be all we can be. You know, in the natural, you look out here and you, as young men, you know, we maybe aspired to want to join the military because of what we had heard in history books. And maybe we had uncles or friends that were in the military and oh, we wanted to be like them. And it caused us maybe to sign up and to serve or want to serve and to be part of this, what's going on in this world. But oh my, when we can see what God has prepared and how he's fortified and sent his precious word, it ought to make every one of us want to sign up to be a front runner
for whatever God wants in our lives, we should be right there toeing the mark, saying, Lord, let it be to me according to thy word. And oh, what an expression it ought to put in there, that he would see that expression in our lives. Not just something we pick up on Sundays or something we're picking up when we come on Thursday nights, but it's something that lives and expresses in our lives, and it's a love affair back to him. No matter where you're at, there's an expression, just you and him. A song, a praise, a thank you, Lord, a whispered prayer on your lips all day long for what he's done for us and how thankful we ought to be and how we ought to lift him up and give him glory and the honor that he deserves. As I said, you will lift up a flag and shine a light and, oh, make sure it's ever so pretty. But do we take the time to give God the same amount of attention? Do we give him more of the attention and really lift him up and show him that we love him and appreciate him? Oh, my saints, we need to raise him up. Let him be God in our hearts and lives, the same God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what he did then, he can do today if we don't put limits on him. And if we'll surrender our lives and let him have the full preeminence and make sure that that token's on display and you watch the things that'll happen in your midst. But oh my, we must give God first place in our hearts and in our lives. And he must be first on the throne of our hearts. Amen. Let's all stand if you would. Just pray something was said to help you, stir your heart. But oh my, we've got a lot to be thankful for. I'm part of a kingdom that's never going to end. Amen. And I serve a God that's real. Hallelujah. And oh, how thankful we ought to be to know that our name's been in that book of life. Hallelujah. I just couldn't help it. But let's sing this little chorus again, Rock of Ages. There on 33, as our sister had you sing it. Oh, how great he is. Amen. It's on page 33 if you need the words. Rock of Ages, clap for me. Amen. Let me hide myself in thee. myself in thee. Amen. Is that your desire to be hid? Amen. Oh, he is so precious. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. Let's just bow our heads. Precious Lord, we are so grateful to feel your presence and know, Lord, that you're here with us. And Lord, it's a small, simple way that I can bring something back, Lord, to our remembrance. Lord, to stir our hearts with your precious word. But Lord, you've paid such a great price for us. And Lord, you've done so much. And you do so much every day. And Lord, do we thank you for it? Do we appreciate it? Lord, does our lives truly show that we appreciate what you're doing for us? And what you've prepared for us? And Lord, what you told us is waiting at the end of the road? Is our eyes focused, Lord, to what you've got for us? Are we too entangled with being an American citizen? Yes, Lord, I was born in this country. And Lord, we are thankful that you've blessed it to be a country that has religious freedoms, Lord, that we could continue to worship you and your word could go forth. And Lord, we see all that you've done. But Lord, we know that your word also tells us those times are going to end. And the Lord, that look up, your redemption draws nigh. And Lord, we see that the signs of the time are truly showing. We're nearing the appearing of the Lord. And Lord, we've given our lives for this. Lord, we've lived all of our lives. Some of us are older, some of us are young, but Lord, we've each one got this desire, Lord, to live and to be pleasing to you. And Lord, to do all that you've commanded us to do for one, Lord, to see that you're glorified and that you get your glory here, Lord, that your word proves out that you said you would identify yourself through a people. And at that day, we would know that we were in you and you were in us and you were in the Father, Lord, all of us together. And Lord, that life would be expressed and living. And Lord, do we see it on display? And that's what we want, Lord. We don't want to tear down one word, Lord. We don't want one word left short or tear out one little piece that we don't think it needs to be this way. But Lord, we want your word to be magnified and glorified and as big as it is, Lord, and to uphold it with all that's in us. To make sure, Lord, that you get the full satisfaction from our hearts and in our lives. And Lord, we just thank you for this evening we've had, and we pray that something was said to strengthen or encourage someone's heart. And Lord, most of all, may it cause us to give you more praise and more honor. And Lord, to truly show forth that we're not of this world, but Lord, we're seeking a city to come. And Lord, we got our eyes turned heavenly and looking, Lord, and loving the longing for the appearing of Jesus Christ. Bless those that couldn't come this evening, Lord. Bless those that have needs. You know all things. And bless your little bride, wherever she may be, all over this earth, Lord, and just strengthen and encourage her. And Lord, we'll never fail to give you the glory for it all. And we ask these things in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We sing that little chorus. I sing it, I love him. Amen.
I love him.
Bless you. You're all dismissed. Amen.